And welcome to Geekers Creepers. This is the podcast. We talk about the geeky side of life and we talk about the creepy side of life. This is one of our special broadcasts of Geekers Creepers where we talk about HBO's The Last of Us. My name is Rob. I'm your host and I am joined by Kelly Kapowski. How's it going, Kelly?
Hey, doing great. Happy Monday. Hey,
happy everybody. Monday. And I am also joined by Eddie Spaghetti. How's it going, Ed?
Doing well.
So we are here today to talk about episode 7. I believe it is called No One or Left Behind of HBO's The Last of Us. So with this podcast, the way it works, everyone, is Ed and Kelly have actually never played the game. And so they're just going off what they've seen in the episode. I have played the game, both the first and the second, as well as all the DLC. Just a quick some information. We will not spoil, or I will not spoil, what I believe will come next. I may give little hints to say, oh, this is important, this is important, this maybe pops up later, but it will not be a spoiler. I will also, with this episode specifically, this is actually what's known as DLC for the video game. Kelly, specifically, do you know what DLC is?
No.
So when you have a video game, a lot of times there's something known as downloadable content. So you have like the actual video game, and then you can get like some extra, like an extra story that you can buy on the side. Usually if the video game's 30 hours, the extra story might be just a couple of hours. It'll cost like $5. So Left Behind, this story was actually not in the original Last of Us. It was actually something that you would buy on the side DLC. So it came out after the actual game came out. And so with that said, let's start out with what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the episode, kind of give our ideas of what we thought as it went along. And then at the very end, give our opinion of how we would rank this out of 10. I think Eddie and I last week decided that we are using the half point scale now because we gave what, an 8.5 out of 10?
8.5, yes.
All right.
Two pinkies up.
Two pinkies up. All right. So with this one, Left Behind, we start out where we left off last week, where Joel had been stabbed by the baseball bat. And now he's just lying in this house, kind of it's in the snow. There's snow outside. It's like a little home, like in a suburban neighborhood. Joel's in there and you have Ellie just trying to patch him up. So let me ask this, guys, how did you guys think about the start of this episode?
I thought it was interesting because it starts with the blood trail up to this house. And you don't know exactly what it is, right? So it's kind of mysterious at first. And then you realize that it's Joel and that she like dragged him in there and that she's sewing up his hole. Sorry. His wound.
His wound. Yes. I guess it's a hole, but it's his wound. Joel's like, not the nostrils. Leave those alone. So we now also have Ellie. This is a very Ellie-centric episode. It's just that the episode is about Ellie. I think you see Joel in the beginning and at the end, and I don't think he even says anything. Oh, no, he does. He grabs, he's like, just get out of here. Get out of here. You know?
He wants to go back. It seems like he wants her to go back to Tommy. If that's what it seems like. Okay. All right. So.
Yeah, so I retitled this episode Riley. Because it's so that like it's very focused on two people in this whole episode.
Right.
And so then after this, we get Ellie seems like she's listening to Joel and she's just going to leave because she gets up to the stairs, opens up the door, and poof, we get a flashback. And the flashback is Ellie running around a gym, kind of like, doing PE class. And I read somewhere, could you imagine being in the post-apocalypse quote unquote zombie world and your job is a PE teacher? That's like the weirdest thing. You know, you would think they have like, you know, just that'd be one of those, I guess you would still need a PE teacher, but it's just one of those jobs that you wouldn't think would be out there in the post-apocalyptic zombie world. But so she's running around in circles and she's listening to music. Did you guys catch what the band was that she was listening to?
No.
Well, was it Eddie Vedder?
Yep. Pearl Jam.
Okay.
It was Eddie Vedder.
It was Pearl Jam. Okay. I thought it was just Eddie Vedder, but it was Pearl Jam. It was a song I wasn't familiar with, but
I hadn't known it either, but Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam in the Last of Us lore, especially part two, is very important. There's a very sentimental part with the music. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it in this version of the show, because in The Last of Us that came out, the video game, that takes place, everything happens in 2013. In this one, everything happens in 2003. The song that they make reference to would have came out, I believe, in 2013. It was a later Pearl Jam song. So for them to bring it back up, there's that whole continuity thing, and I don't think it'll be brought back up. So I think this was their shout out to Pearl Jam in reference to the video game.
Okay.
So we also get Ellie getting picked on at the gym. And so here we learn that Riley was her.
Well, we backup. Also saw, we get to see a Walkman, which I probably hadn't seen in, at that time, I probably hadn't seen a Walkman in probably about 10 years. So that was interesting in of itself. I was expecting, like, maybe there's a Discman that people were running around with. I don't know. Do you remember those? Or
were Walkman really that big? Because that thing was huge.
That was my first thought, was how large is that
thing? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
She's carrying an extra, that's like a backpack she's running around.
I used to, this is back in my high school days. I did have a Walkman. I think I had like one of those Sony Walkmen that, you know, it was clunky, but you know, if you like positioned it right in your jacket, you look crazy, but it was just like, fun. Sometimes I just want to listen to my tunes, man.
Did you guys ever have a Discman when you read that thing? Like, as soon as you start to run, it would skip every single song. It would
skip all the play. Yeah, no. That was the thing. That was a whole. That was a whole intensive thing. You had to record your. You had to transfer everything to tape, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you had to record your CDs into tape, and that was the way to do it.
Record, but the CD Walkmans. All kids out there, those were not fun to use. You're lucky you have MP3 players. Okay.
Ah, no joke. Yeah.
And so now we have Ellie, because she gets in a fight with that one girl who was picking on her. She's now in front of, is it, what was his name? Is it
Huang?
Huang. Yeah, okay.
Huang.
And she's kind of, you know, he tells her, he's like, you can either choose the cup or choose the keys. The cup is that, you know, you become just another grunt, and the keys is you become an officer, because I guess he believes that she's really smart. And I guess I kind of like the fact that he mentions that she is smart, because it explains that how she's able to survive so long, because she does make some decisions that as like a 13 or 14 year old, I know I wouldn't have made. I would have been a goners in the apocalypse. I would have been one of the first ones. You know, I'd be one of the dummies that hides inside the refrigerator, thinking that they don't see me, but they're actually kind of just, you know, kind of hovering around. That'd be me. So I, you know, he kind of tells me, he's like, you know, you could be an officer and live a good life. And it's kind of cool to see the Fedra, that's what she is. She's part, she's like at the Fedra training program, kind of being a little more human, you know, even though they're the bad guys, or that's what we're told. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
I don't think so at all, though. I don't think that they're being the good guy at all. They just gave her friend sewage duty. Like, they're mm-hmm. passing out the roles, and she just got a better role. But, like, they don't have a choice.
Right.
You know, like, right. She just happened to get lucky.
And we'll get to that, because the Fireflies also are kind of recruiting people in a very, you know, like, you know, in a very kind of slimy way. You know, they're getting these little kids and kind of giving them false hope and having to make bombs, which is kind of, you know, it's weird. It's like, is there a good side? Is there, but we'll get to that later on.
Right.
So where are we at here?
So their girl climbs through the window.
Yes. She goes, oh, no, no, right. Before we get to that, before we get to that, did you guys realize that there's a few important things that we see in her room? And I wrote this down right away. One of them is the AHA tape. Did you guys notice that it kind of...
Yes.
Is the AHA tape? Yes. And of course, later on, they do play Take On Me. Again, AHA, Take On Me, that song in part two, very, very important. There's a scene that it's an optional scene, but it's really cool. And then there's also the Mortal Kombat poster. If it scans around Mortal Kombat 2, which in this episode becomes very important. So two little Easter eggs that we get in the scene when we look inside Ellie's room. There's also a couple other things. We do see dinosaurs, and we see she has a poster full of moons. Those, I will say, are... Later we learn that she's a big fan of dinosaurs and big fan of space because she wanted to go to space. She does mention that a couple episodes earlier, or it might be the previous episode. She says her favorite astronaut is, what was her name?
Sally Ride.
Sally, yeah. Thank you. And in the game itself, these are two things that we learn more about her, and they're scenes that you see her relate with Joel regarding dinosaurs in space. Again, not spoiling, because who knows if they'll even bring it up. But yes, Kelly, you were saying we get Riley jumping in. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we heard that she lost a friend. Bethany says, oh, your friends fight for you. And now she's not here anymore. And so we like, oh, so we lost somebody. And then when she's in her room, she looks across and there's an empty bed. And there's like... she's sad. Like she misses what we now learn is her roommate and her best friend. Mm-hmm. And we get an ominous shadow in the window and you're like, oh no, something bad's going to happen. It's a mushroom head. And it's Riley. Like sneaking back into the room.
And it's cool. So we learn at this point that Riley joined the Fireflies. And, I think Riley's like, hey, let's get your stuff together, Ellie. We're going to go out I got a present for you. I'm going to show you something, something different, get your things together, which I got to say a lot of this, it follows the actual video game very closely. All these things that happen actually do happen in the game. And we get a few cool scenes here. We get that one where the guy that as Riley's leading Ellie to the place you're supposed to go to, they come across that one guy that killed himself with the alcohol and the pills. Now, do we believe those were pills that were that Joel ended up selling him? Because remember, he is a pill pusher.
Yeah. So this was a weird scene because it's the first time I think Ellie has seen a dead body. Because she asks, is that your first time? And the girl's like, no, I saw my parents die. Mm. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot. You know, so I wonder if that was Ellie's first time ever seeing a dead body. And then it falls through the floor. And I'm so confused about why that happened.
So, with this scene, in the video game, Ellie is a lot more, she's a lot more naive. And I do like this actress, but some of the scenes are getting downright creepy. Like when she walks up to that thing and gets real close and like wants to like really look at it. I'm like, it's like a morbid curiosity. I'm like, Ellie, come on now. Or like, remember the clicker that was trapped underground. Like she's sitting there with the knife and it's to the point. It's like that weird kid that pulls the legs off of insects. You're just like, dude, relax. I don't know. Did you guys feel the same way on this part?
I think it really takes her out of her gender role. I think that like, instead of expecting her to be like scared of that stuff and like, ew, that makes me want to throw up. Like she's very much in the trenches, like just trying to survive like anybody else would.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Ed?
Well, I guess it doesn't really, I think her character has kind of just been staying with that. It seems like, she doesn't mind like a little bit of blood violence type thing. Straight from the beginning when you meet her, you could tell she's, She doesn't have a fear of blood or anything, mm-hmm. or the sight of blood. So
it makes her a little rough around the edges, I would say. And
she's definitely, yeah. She's just a tomboy. That's pointing it mildly, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. So she's definitely, yeah, like Callie said, she's definitely stepping out of what we think is like a gender role or what typical for girls.
And the more I think about it, maybe it's better that they represent her this way, because as this goes on, there was always the first game and the second game, there are always some issues that, like, there were some character inconsistencies, and maybe this way, you know, we can see, you know, kind of like it'll evolve into the Ellie for the second part. I think maybe it is a good way they represent her this way. So now we get to the mall, and this mall died out in 2003. So it was still in the height of the not the height, but malls were still popular at the time. Now, if you go to the mall, right, it's probably as dead as it is in the episode now.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. The malls seem to be going the way of the dodo. Mm-hmm.
But we get in there, and Riley ends up, you know, telling her, "Hey, no, it's got this mall. It's like a bunker. Nobody can see the lights on. It's got power, and they turn it on, and you got all the neon lights. You had Foot Locker, you had Victoria's Secret, you know, just all these places. I think you had Antm or whatever. It was
like. Are a spirit? Are those? Is it Espirit? Are those still around? Or I don't even know if they're still around. Are they a thing?
Well, and there was the American Girl doll store, mm-hmm. looking like Chucky.
American Girl. Okay.
The Espirit one, it's hilarious, because I was watching that with my friend, and the first thing she said was like, I don't think those are around. You know, like the Espirit.
I don't think so.
And so, yeah, I mean, and they get the mall experience, and Riley tells her, I've got four wonders I'm going to show you. And the first one, she thinks it's a wonder, but it's the escalator. And of course, this is where we get The Cure to start playing. Or not The Cure, I'm sorry. We get playing.
Yeah. And she calls them Magic Stairs, which is like the best name for an escalator.
She introduced it, and then she's like, oh, is this the first wonder? She's like, actually, no, but sure, if you want it to be. So there's six wonders.
Yeah.
And now you think about that, like, yeah, that's funny. That's funny how they look at things. It's just like, this is amazing.
And when you think about it, it would be. I mean, I was a real little kid when I first saw my first escalator. But mm-hmm. I mean, think if I'd ever seen something like that, you know, it'd be like the craziest thing. You know, it's like maybe for me, it'd be like the first time I went to the airport and they had those things where you could just stand on instead of walking. It just kind of drags you along. Come on, like,
oh yeah,
you couldn't have tried to walk backwards. I mean, everybody tried to walk backwards on those things to see if you could, you know, or you try to walk faster to kind of beat your friend who decides not to take it. You know,
that's so funny. Everybody does that.
Yeah.
So I felt like while it was a new discovery for her, it seemed brand new. The experience in the mall was a very typical teenager of like the mm-hmm. time before them. And they got to experience a little bit of normalcy, I feel like, in this weird time and space where they got to do an actual typical teenager day.
Yeah.
At the mall, hanging out at the mall.
So it's kind of funny. I agree. I absolutely agree with you. And the crazy thing is, like, so to all our listeners out there, in case you don't know, Kelly and I, when Stranger Things comes up, we always do a review. Well, we recently started doing reviews of Stranger Things. And do you remember in Stranger Things, there's that, I think it's season 2 or 3, there's the part where they're at the mall, like the 11 and the redheaded girl are at the mall and they're kind of doing their little... what do they call it? What is it called where Rocky does the fight scenes? Eddie, what's that called? It's the montage.
Oh, montage, yeah.
So they do the mall montage. That reminded me of the last of this when I played the video game, because they in the video game, they actually So it's kind of weird. Like the one in Stranger Things reminded me of the video game. And when I watched the one on TV, it reminded me of both the Stranger Things and the video game one. It's that, and you're right, Kelly, it's that montage scene where you've got these kids that are just like enjoying, they're being kids, kids being kids. Mm-hmm. Not me. I didn't go to the mall.
That was oh my gosh, really? Everyone hung out at the mall. It's such a teenager universe experience.
You guys were the cool kids. I did it.
I thought you'd be reading what was it, Thrasher and doing some ollies on the stair, do some rail slides and stuff on the.
I think, wait, so were you guys mall kids? Did you guys do it? Go to hang out at the mall?
Yeah, there was a phase for sure, mm-hmm. Not a long one, but yeah.
Kind of, but not really. I mean, like, what? Basically, if they hit the it would be maybe to hit the arcade or something like that. That would probably be about it for me. But I remember. I mean, you, here and there, you would always, you'd probably hit the mall a couple times during the year. And
I was the same way. I actually only went like a couple times a year, and I would always go to Babbage's, which was the video game shop. And just sit there and look at video games, knowing I can't buy them, and then just leave and go. I think at the time I used to work at the movie theater, so I would just go there, look at the games, and go back out. Okay, so the next scene is the scene with the carousel. They turn it on and is it called a carousel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was kind of funny. The scene where they're looking at the underwear.
Oh yeah.
they're like at a is that Victoria's Secret? I don't mm-hmm. know it was or something like that. They probably I just thought it was kind of funny. She's like, they're like, this is what people like. And actually it's kind of like, it's like, yeah, we are kind of lame, but like this is what we thought about doing with our spare time. Like how to make creative underwear for people. And mm-hmm. It was kind of funny, but she's like, oh, I imagine you. I'm just trying to imagine you wearing that. She's like, shut up. And then she kind of fixes her hair up. It was kind of funny. It's a funny moment because like now, they're relaxing and then they're worrying about other things other than just staying alive. So yeah. An interesting thing to like put out. It's just like, yeah, it's just like, I guess. Maybe this is how people were way, way, way back in the day, you know, like the peasants, when we finally have all this free time, it's just like, what do we do? We consume stupid stuff we think about all this type of stuff. I just thought that was kind of funny. A funny moment in there too. So
yeah. And, I think you could fit a scene like this. It doesn't even have to be in like some crazy zombie horror movie. Like, let's say it was a movie about, like a war movie. You know, if you had kids and they were in a mall, they would still be kids, even though, like, you mentioned, like when things are bad, you think about just survival. But at the end of the day, if kids didn't have to worry about that, they could just actually be kids again, and I know it's put in the zombie fiction world, but it's the same with just, it's happening now. Kids are worried about, when their next meal is going to be. But at the end of the day, they're just, they're just kids and they just want to be, have fun, play video games, do dumb things. But I'm looking too much into it at this point. Okay. Yeah. So we have the merry-go-round.
Yeah. So this is where we find out she got her assignment.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why mm-hmm. she ran away. She was going to be on sewage detail.
Do we know what song is playing when they're going around that merry-go-round?
The Cure. What was that song?
Just Like Heaven.
Just Like Heaven, yeah.
So couple symbolisms there. One, because they're on it's the two of them. I think this is also the first time that you really get to see that Ellie's so happy to be with Riley. It's kind of like, they're happy. She's happy she's with her. So it's Just Like Heaven, like the song. And also the band is called The Cure. At that, what is Ellie? Ellie is The Cure. Maybe.
Whoa.
But she's The Cure.
I didn't think about that.
Oh, see, finally, I get one right. I get one.
Oh my God.
Much like Kelly got it last time. Kelly was all good with her stuff.
Yeah, you're good. I did not have this many insights in this episode at all.
But you're right. Then Riley does tell her about, you know, she's given sewage work. And so what did you get? So in the video game, this is a very important scene. This isn't going to ruin anything because it in the video game, it cuts back and forth to. So in the game, we know that that Joel's sick and she has to go out and find medicine. So she actually goes to a burnt down mall trying to, or it's like I think it's a mall, and she's trying to find medicine to get to Joel. She's trying to find stuff. And it flashes back and forth to the past when she was with Riley in the mall. So it's like it cuts back and forth. And one of the central scenes in the game is the merry-go-round scene. So I want to know, what did you guys think about this scene? What did you guys like it, not like it? Did you think it was, you know, what did you think?
Go ahead, Ed.
No, you go.
This was the part where I started to get like this weird sexual tension between mm-hmm. them. And I don't know, it was just in the front of everything that was happening. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was, I don't know, I just, there was an overwhelming part of what was going on mm-hmm. in this episode from this point forward.
Yep.
So even when she was looking at the lingerie and she like fixes her hair and like, who are you trying to look good for? You're going to go throw that on? it was everywhere, like that they were around each other. It was just mm-hmm. a very strong tension. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also in the game, up until this point, I don't think you have any clue that that Ellie's gay. It's not until you play this. I don't think you do. I mean, I could be wrong. But I don't think you realize it until after you play the DLC that you realize that that she's gay. I'll have to go back and check that. But yeah, I don't think you find out at all. So you could literally play the original game and never tell you, because it's no need to bring it up. You know, it's not like the game is about her surviving with Joel.
I guess that's why I just felt like the friendship was such a strong relationship on its own. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was what was brilliant about it, was like how much they loved each other. It wasn't about, ooh, let's kiss. You know what I mean? It was deeper than that. And I felt like they really cheapened it by having this like sexual tension when they already love each other. It's not, it didn't need to be like that, I guess.
I could tell you, you're not the only one that felt that way watching this episode. I personally like it just because, maybe it's because the way when I played it, like it's like I know, you know, that Ellie, it's, I don't know, I just I like the episode. I like the fact that they the way she's portrayed here, her relationship with Riley. But I could see where, like, you know what you're saying, it maybe it didn't need to go that way. Maybe it could have just been a friendship thing and stick with the friendship aspect. What do you think, Ed? Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, it didn't really bug me. I thought it was, I don't know, it's just like, it's about two teenagers. So mm-hmm. I the fact that it's two girls, I think maybe they just try, maybe they were trying to challenge you a little bit with mm-hmm. this one. But, on the other hand, I guess it just really didn't bother me. I thought, yeah, they're best friends, but they're more than that. And mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe they're just both. They just don't understand. They're both scared to show their true feelings. And I think that's typical, like with teenagers, maybe.
And let me say, this is another reason why I liked the way they portrayed Ellie as a gay character with Riley. And again, you have to understand that I did play the game first. It's in 2013 when this came out, there had really been no real decent portrayals of gay video game characters. It was always like, you know, it's to make fun of, or, you know, do something that just, you know, it's not a good portrayal. And this one caught a lot of people off guard. People did not realize that this was going to be, that they were going to portray Ellie this way. And it probably ticked off people. Me, I'm like, this is awesome. finally a decent portrayal where it's not where it's not to make fun of, you know, because trust me, I could find plenty of un-PC, non-PC gay characters in video games, and it was good to finally portray one where they took the relationship seriously. So as this portrayal in regards to like in the lens of video games is a monumental portrayal of gay characters. Let's put it that way.
I didn't think it was a very good portrayal.
And that's fine. And Kelly, I could definitely see that. I just, for me, it was the first decent portrayal in video games. So for me, it was like finally, it's not somebody that's, you know, flamboyant and a punchline in video games. It was something to be taken.
Usually, what it is.
If you look at a lot of older games, yes, it's, you know, it's. Don't get me wrong. There were still some ones that were. It's evolved as games get more and more mature. That's not as bad. But you look at the Grand Theft Auto series, and it is.
That's true. That one is kind of famous for being like raunchy, isn't it?
Yes, and the portrayals can be, you know, very non-PC to the point where it's like, yeah, you can't do that anymore. but all right, so let's keep going. We've got next. No, wait. Go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
The photo booth and how she calls it the time machine.
That's exactly what I was going to go to. Okay, go ahead.
It's just one of the things she wants to show her is this photo booth. Mm-hmm. And she's like, is that a time machine? And she says it looks so serious. It's hilarious.
And I think it's at this point that Ellie also does mention that she's a fan of dinosaurs. Because I think she was asking, like, what they had next. And it was like, you know, do you have dinosaurs? And she does go to the photo machine.
She wanted to know, what's the gift? The gift is, she's like, oh, is it tacos? they hit the photo booth, right? Mm-hmm. And then go through and it's just like, oh, like the first photo is just like, oh, what do we do? I don't know. Like, and then all of a sudden they start being more creative with their poses and stuff like that. It's kind of fun. I can't remember if I ever did anything like that.
I have never done a photo booth ever. Yeah, how about you, Kelly? Have you done a photo booth?
Guilty. I've done a few photo booths here.
Wow. You have done the entire mall experience.
Yes.
She's like, and it was with my friend Riley. We hung out. but then after
this, I still have those that headphones from Sharper Image that I.
You know, I gotta say, Sharper Image. Their stuff wasn't bad. I've got something.
You bought something from them.
I bought something from Sharper Image.
I thought that was I thought the Sharper Image was always the perennial place you just walk through. It's like, you know what? It's time to look at some stuff and think like I'm going to be like James Bond or something.
I don't know what Sharper Image is.
Sharper Image was like. That's what it was like. The way Ed's describing it, it was all these like gadgets that were made to look really cool and just like, I mean, they really had no use, and some of them were kind of pricey.
Sharper Image, I think, was always geared to like maybe definitely like the higher income people that like, it's just like, oh, I can blow a grand or two on like a massage. Like chair,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was like the first place to go. Like you'd be like, okay, so if I'm gonna go to check out massage chairs, I'm gonna go to Sharper Image, and like I said, it was always designed to be like a place. If you know, pre-internet, this was the place to go, like and look at like stupid stuff that you definitely didn't need or anyone really needed at the time.
Like, but it is just like if you wanted to get a fan that would oxidize the air while it's like, you know, it would be Sharper Image.
Yeah, it'd be Sharper Image. And I can't remember, did they have they kind of had their own brand, right?
Yes.
All that stuff.
They had a catalog and everything.
They were kind of like, oh, you know what they were like? They were like the rich man's version of Radio Shack. How about that?
Okay, and that I can get on board.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, because I know Radio Shack.
Radio Shack. But you know, their remote control cars would be like phenomenal, or they would have like remote control boats or mm-hmm. something, and just like a message board that would just be like really sleek design type thing. But it was like I said, it was like the store that like I never met anybody that ever bought anything from there, but everyone walked through it. So it's just like it's one of those amazing stores. Like it's just like how does this place stay open? I've never seen anybody purchase anything from it.
If anyone has any questions about Sharp Image, feel free to email us. I'll send it to Ed.
Sharper.
He searches on store. Sharper Image.
Sharper Image.
All right. So we now get the arcade scene. And this is where if there was a place in the mall I would have gone to, it would have been the arcade. I went to arcades all the time. And there was something that was unusual. Like for 2003, I guess at this point, I was surprised that they were still such a popular arcade room because I thought they were kind of dying out at this point. But they had everything there. And what do they play? Mortal Kombat 2. That kind of, I don't know if you guys remember, but do you guys remember episode 3? Well, of course, we all remember episode 3, the one with Bill and Frank.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. But at the very beginning, if you remember, like before we get to Bill and Frank's place, when what's his name? Joel's hiding away his guns. Ellie is sees a Mortal Kombat 2 machine, and she starts, you know, playing around and tells Joel, like, oh yeah, you could play this character who like eats you up and spits your bones out. This is a call out to back when she was with Riley. That's how she knows this.
Yeah.
And hey, so, question. Go ahead.
Is this my memory just making things up, or did this really happen? Was there an arcade in Union Station at one point? Or no?
In Chicago?
Yeah. Wasn't there, like, on the corner? I feel like in my memory, I swear, like, there was an arcade in there.
No? Not that I know of. Ed, do you remember an arcade at Union Station?
You know what? I really didn't go through Union Station. I went to Ogilvy, but I don't even remember. I don't remember anything there.
Yeah, and there may have been. You know, the thing about arcades is that around the late 90s to early 2000s, they all kind of died out. There's still a few left, but they're more kind of like the Dave and Buster's kind of games, you know.
They're the barcades.
Yeah, stuff, barcades right? Too. You got those out.
Well, those are kind of like bringing back a little bit, but.
And then, but to answer your question, Kelly, I don't know. And now I'm gonna, because now you're putting that in my head, and I'm like, maybe there was one.
But am I confusing two different places in my head? Like I'm blending them together.
Because maybe like back in the 90s there was one. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean a long time ago.
Oh, we'll have to do some research. Yeah. All right. So the four wonders. Wonder number one was the merry-go-round. Wonder number two was a photo machine. No, wonder number three was the arcade machine. And then during this time, remember we get to see that little creeper, the clicker that's kind of stuck against the wall. Yes. And we're kind of getting hints. And then do you guys, so were there five wonders? So what was the fourth one? Was it?
So they added the escalator,
Yeah, that was the fifth. Yeah, that was the one that was added. Mm-hmm. Now, I have one here where Riley gives Ellie the pun book. I don't think that was the wonder. I think there's one after that.
That was just a gift.
Yeah,
right?
It was a gift. Okay.
Because she wanted, okay. So where were we at though? The first one was the
merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round. Second one was the photo booth.
Arcade.
Third one is the arcade. And then or is that the fourth one?
I know which one the fourth. It's the Halloween one. But yeah. Before we get to the Halloween, we do get Ellie giving her the pun book. And this scene's important. I think this scene's important because this is where we learn that it's not so much about the pun book, but we learn that Riley is not there because she's hiding out. She's there because she's making bombs for the for the Fireflies. She's there making bombs and kind of hiding out as like a separate, you know, like in case she needs to, you know, get this stuff out to bomb part of the what is that called, the zone, the QZ zone. So
QZ.
This is where I get conflicted. Like, who's the bad guys? Are they both bad guys? You have Fedra, which is, you know, very dictatorship, you know, but they're keeping the people alive. And then you have the Fireflies who, you know, with these bombs and having children make them feels like a terrorist organization that, you know, that we're all too familiar with. And I don't know, what do you guys think about this scene about, you know, about what they're doing with Riley and about like the two differences here between the two organizations?
Well, I mean, at first Ellie's like defending Fedra, which I found like hilarious because in the current, she hates them, like can't mm-hmm. stand them. So in this flashback, she's like somewhat defending them. She says the Fireflies are terrorists and blow things up. And she's like, well, not things with people in them, you know? So you hear the first side of they're terrorists and blow things up. And then the assumption is kill people. Mm-hmm. And then the other side does the same thing and hangs people for crimes, you know, that they didn't have anything to do with and are, mm-hmm. you know, terrorists in their own way. Cause people are so afraid of death, like at any turn, that's terrorism, mm-hmm. you know, people living in fear like that. So they're kind of both bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you think, Ed, before I go any further? Cause this is, I think this is important that we have to like, are there, remember the goal is to get Ellie to the Fireflies, but are they good people? Are they not? You know, what do you think?
You know, it's hard to say. The Fireflies are, seemed, I guess I would have some leanings towards the Fireflies, but if you see the Fireflies are just gonna, like, you would think, like, once they're in power, if you think they'd just be like the same as Fedra would be once they are in power. Mm-hmm. So it's like hard at this point now to even like really feel like the Fireflies are the ones that I would have sympathies for at this point. So I don't know, it's hard to say who's going to be the good guy at this mm-hmm. point. But I mean, it's I don't think anybody in their anybody like morally can justify, you know, doing what they're doing, having a 17-year-old make bombs to you know, to essentially terrorize people, right?
And so this is crazy because like that's exactly what I said at first. I'm like you got the 17-year-old, you know, you recruit her to make bombs, and the person I was watching this with said, she's like, well, when you're 18, you can join the military. I'm like, and at that point, I'm like, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're big bombs.
Yeah. I'm like, geez, when you put it that way. Yeah. But yeah, so I think this and the next scene is important because I don't know. Well, I think we also learned that this is Riley's last day. She tells her, look, I'm leaving. I'm going to Atlanta.
The saddest part of that was that she'd ask if she could come with her, and she mm-hmm. said no, she couldn't come. Mm-hmm. So it was her saying goodbye. It wasn't even saying, like, come with me. It was so mm-hmm. sad.
Yeah.
And then we have Ellie getting angry. She makes, you know, Ellie being angry, getting out, leaving, turns around, decides to come back. And and then we get the last wonder, which is the haunted house. And they do their little mm-hmm. dance to, what was that? They each put a mask on. I got you, babe.
Ada James's "I Got You, Babe."
That is a catchy song. And
to be honest with you, that was the best. I felt like that was the best music moment, almost pretty much in this movie so far. Or movie, the
show,
the series, the mm-hmm. series so far. So I was actually. I literally Shazammed that when I watched it the second time. I'm like, you know what? Who's singing that? Because it's not Aretha Franklin. Mm-mm. It's like, and no, it's Ida James's "I Got You, Babe."
And it's actually, this is also a scene from the game where you actually to see them dance. And I think this is the scene where I think this is where Ellie kisses Riley, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, I you know, I kind of knew what was going to happen. You know, this is, but so for you, Kelly, you weren't a fan with this, the way that they turned into a romantic relationship.
I mean, it would have been fine if that would have been more spontaneous, but there was no spontaneity to that moment. It was ruined because the tension was just so thick. Instead of being like tender, I felt like it was very, like, I don't know, overly sexual, when what their love was way more than that. You know, their relationship with each other, I felt like it was better than that. I don't know. But yeah, that moment was really interesting because she's like, what do we do now? they're teenagers. They don't know what comes next.
And that's not in the video game, right, Rock?
No. That isn't the video game. They kiss. This is so close to the video game. It's crazy. And then we get the clicker that ends up coming out and attacking both of them. And this is where they bite Ellie and they bite Riley. And this is where we learn that Ellie is immune. Well, we don't know.
But is it just one clicker or were there two? I was kind of like,
I was confused at first too, but there's only one.
There's only one, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The way they cut that fight scene was kind of I wasn't really impressed with it. It's just
I agree with you.
That was the point.
I absolutely agree.
It was this flurry of fighting, and then somehow, some way, they both got bit at some point in that fight. But it just seemed really off, choreographed a little bit off. Mm-hmm. It seemed
in the game it goes on for a little bit longer. There's more clickers and it's more of it drags out a bit more, which I would have wanted it. Make the show a little bit longer to bring a little tension and to kind of have them run away from these things. But yeah, you're right. It came out of nowhere. I knew it was going to happen, but for people that are new to this, it just kind of like, bam, they get bit, you know, both of them, you bit, you know, and so we have both of them, you know, Ellie at this point thinks she's going to die. Riley thinks she's going to die. And it's like, you know, what do we do next? And I really did like the scene. I thought it was really sad because it's like, I mean, Ellie doesn't know. She doesn't know what's going to happen. And I think we're supposed to assume that this is where she ends up, you know, like they never show us. And I don't think they show you in the game either. But I'm assuming she ends up killing her, you know, Riley at some point.
I know. I was so curious, like, how it ended.
Well, I think maybe that's coming up. What's really gonna how it all ends? Does she end up figuring that she's staying the same and Riley's getting worse? And
can I be honest? I don't think they're gonna show it. No. I think they end it this way for a reason, because it's like it's better to imagine what happened, you know, because you can figure out, like, you know, what was there? Because I don't think you need to show it. You know, Riley's not around. You know, she lives. You know, she's not infected. I think it's just if you were to show that, it kind of takes away from the fact that they decide to die together. It's that whole Thelma and Louise thing, you know, where it's like, let's, you know, we're gonna, this is it for us.
And when she's going through the list of her options, you know, and the first one is shoot yourself in the head.
Yeah.
They're going down the list. I'm like, wait, where's the go back to Fedra and infect everybody? Because you hit them all. Like, take everybody out. But that was not on the list of options.
Hopefully you never get infected. You're going to like make a list of people you don't like and invite them over for a party.
Oh my gosh.
You're invited to my farewell party.
Wink, wink. It's also your farewell party.
It's a pizza party. I mean, pizza, you.
Our farewell. No, I meant. Oh, I meant. My farewell party.
But yeah, I know. I guess not playing that really like deepens your imagination for like how terrible it was that they, you know, couldn't even really show how that would make somebody feel. Yeah. It's so bad.
And I think it is better, in my opinion, to not show it. I think the way they cut it out and just let your imagination, you know, figure out, not your imagination, but let your create your own story. You know, I think this is what happened. I think it's good. I don't think there's no need to show gore for the sake of showing it. You know, I mean, you know that she doesn't make it. Now, look, if they do show it, great. I don't think they should. I think the way they ended it here is perfect.
It doesn't matter. How about, yeah, ultimately, it thank doesn't you. Really yeah. matter at this point. Yeah.
No, I get that. I get that's that. Exactly it, Ed. It doesn't matter because we know what happens. It doesn't matter for them right. to show it. And now we cut back to present time with Joel still lying down and slowly dying. And I believe it cuts back to Ellie when she was opening up the door and it looked like she was about to leave. But instead, she decides to look for materials to sew him up. And what does she find? Like a needle and a thread and... I think Joel's going to get all infected if you ask me, but that's just...
yeah, I'm just like, you might want to find some rubbing alcohol somewhere, if anything. But that might not, that might not be around. That might but not be around anymore.
But you know, I think, go ahead.
So there's something about this episode where I feel like this is Ellie's opportunity to kind of show Joel that she's been through the pain that he has, because I think he has a hard time accepting when she says, you know, I've lost people too. And he's like, you have no idea what pain is. You have no idea what heartbreak is, right? Because he lost his kid. So she, like, couldn't possibly understand. But this episode kind of like acknowledges that she has had great loss and heartbreak, and that it's legitimate for her too.
So you know? I think you're right. I think for it shows the audience, you know, what she lost, you know, one of the people she lost, somebody that the first person she, what we're to assume she fell in love with is, you know, she loses that person that same night that, you know, she finally decides to, you know, say, you know, I care about you. But with Joel, we learn that, I think Joel learns that, look, she's going to stick around. She's not leaving. She's actually, he's actually at this point, you know, now he's going to think of her as more of a daughter and more of family as opposed to, you know, as a package. Cause I think at this point she's gonna help him out. She's gonna sew him back together. She's sticking around. And I think this is the start of him accepting her as more than just something he has to drop off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end, it cuts off here. And we have the next episode, which the next episode, I'm gonna enjoy talking about that one with you guys. That one's going to be, that one going to be fun. If they do it the way they do it on the show or the game.
Okay. So you saw a little bit of the, whatever they're.
Yeah. But according to the game, this episode, this part has to come next. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything. We'll talk about it. It's best to go, you know, not knowing what, you know, what's really going to happen. So let's start with you, Ed. What did you think about this episode overall? And what's your rating?
My rating? I would give it I think I'm gonna give it a 7. I wasn't I thought it was interesting, but I mean it wasn't anything that really was groundbreaking or anything that was it was about par for the course. But I still enjoyed it. I didn't have too much of an issue with the relationship that Ellie and Riley had, but definitely again it was just like, oh great, another heartbreak, you know. Mm-hmm. Two people in love don't get to live on and enjoy it, and I'm fine with a 7 on this guy.
Okay. And one thing you mentioned before I get to you, Kelly, is the fact that it's another heartbreak episode. And I hope they stop doing this. I don't know if they will, but every episode, it seems like somebody's dying. Like they bring in a character and then that character dies. They bring in a character, that character dies. And if they're going to go for a second season, that's going to drag, you know, at that point, it's going to get to the point where it's like, oh, that's a new guy. That person's going to die by the end of this episode. You know, where it's, you got to change it up. You don't have to kill. Strangely enough, this is following the show very closely. Or the game. So I guess I can't complain, but if there's a second season, I think this would just become tedious if they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. But all right, Kelly, what would you rate this episode?
I would go 6 out of 10. I was curious about some of the Fedra school stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they showed what her life was like in the school, because when we meet her, she's like chained up and has been stolen. So like we have no real background on where she came from. So it's kind of cool to know that that's kind of like where she came from when we first meet her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like the flashback. I thought it was a good insight into who the character is.
Yeah. I thought I was going to like this a lot more than I did. I'm with Ed. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. I really thought when I was going to last week, I'm like, I told Ed last week, I'm like, well, you're going to love this one. I thought it was going to be a 9 or 10 out of 10. I think this is one of those episodes. I think it's better if you play it than watch it. Again, I think it's just the way it's done with the scenes that flash back and forth. And like when you say, go ahead.
Yeah, it probably needed another like 10 minutes of some other stuff.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Just focusing in on them, but even with like what Kelly said, maybe just a little like a little bit more like what are the classrooms like? I'd like to see a little bit more of that type mm-hmm. of stuff too. Like, well, how would they approach that type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
It probably needed a little bit 10 more minutes of that type of stuff, and then I think I probably would have been fine, and then maybe a little bit less of the stuff that happened in the mall.
Honestly for me, I wish it would have been an hour and a half. I just add more to this, like Kelly was saying, you know, the relationship seems to be really quick. They're not build it up, it's just like bam, add more to it. Mm-hmm. let's build up this relationship. Even if it is showing that what the relationship was when she was still, well, I don't know. I just something to build it up more. I agree. I think it's HBO. You shouldn't be constrained by having to always do like a 50-minute episode. Stretch an hour and a half if that's what you need. I think this one deserved more time to really iron out the details, because look, we introduce a whole new character who dies at the end, and you're just like, well, who was this person? We know Riley, but you don't know more about her.
Maybe even a few minutes, them maybe getting introduced to each other. And why was she defending Ellie in first place?
Thank you, Ed. I actually, that's a very good point. Like, why was she defending Ellie? Why was she her, you know, I agree that I think done a bunch of flashbacks to where we're at now, I think would have added to like, you know, where their relationship started. We just know that she's her protector and then that's it. But maybe
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. They can't all be bangers, as I like to say.
They can't all be bangers. Sometimes you get a candy corn.
What are those called? Those nasty taffies? Are they water taffies or what are they called? You go trick or treating and the old lady gives you like the 2-cent candy.
Yep.
Come on.
What was your rating? 7?
Mine was a 7. I went to 7 out of 10.
Good.
Yeah. It was decent. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was mm-hmm. decent. It was okay.
Yeah. I liked it. Definitely better than what was it? Episode 4. Yeah, that was that's yeah.
Four is definitely the low point. But yeah, they're getting better at this more consistent. Definitely. Yeah.
My favorite is still Bill and Frank. That episode number 1. I love that.
It's gonna suck if you know if there's gonna be a whole other season. It's just like that episode 3. Oh God!
Why don't they just bring back Bill and Frank as zombies? Come on! It's a love affair for everyone.
Bill and Bang.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining. To anyone out there, if you guys want, you can email us, send us questions about Sharper Image so Ed can answer. Or you can send us questions about The Last of Us. You can email us at geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. That's geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at geekerscreepers. So before we head out, Eddie, any last parting words?
No, always a pleasure, and hopefully we can get back to some OG Geekers Creepers.
Yeah, so I know. I'm sorry, guys. I really got to get to it because we got to talk about those balloons. There is so much like weird, like creepy stuff going on right now, and we're not. It's my fault. I'm the one that's like, setting it up. But there's a lot of weird.
I know you guys might not be Joe Rogan fans, but they had Eric Weinstein on, he's saying some creepy stuff, and maybe if we have a chance, we'll talk about that.
Send it my way. I could take a look at it because there's like they're like popping up. It's like right now is the hot time for creepy topics.
I don't know if, and I'm talking about Eric Weinstein. I don't know if he's trying to sell something, but I thought that was what he said was kind of odd. The way he phrased what he thinks is what all this stuff might be coming to, not just the balloon type thing, but
we need to get your thumb on the pulse of what's going on.
I know.
Yeah.
A lot of creepy stuff and no episodes, no pod.
Sorry. We'll get to it. I'll set it up. All right. So Kelly, with that said, any final parting words?
No. If people have made it to this part of the pod, congratulations. Thank you so much for staying with us. but yeah, live, laugh, and creep as always. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And
we're looking for two pinkies from you guys. Okay. Two pinkies.
Yeah. If any listeners out there, if you're new, feel free to give us, we'd appreciate it if you gave us like 5 stars on whatever you listened to us or whatever, give us a great rating. That'd be fantastic. There are some places we actually do have good ratings. I was surprised. You know, I think it was my mom went on there. She's like, she was trying to give me like 1 star, but actually hit 5.
Am I crazy or did some other podcast actually bring up your one of your like videos on YouTube?
I think you're crazy. But we do have a lot of hits on the YouTube videos. I still got a.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought someone actually brought up or looked at your. They're actually doing like a little quick review of your
really?
Little thing.
I'm gonna have contact an attorney.
I literally just well no. hopefully they
copyright.
I'm like we're hunting this guy down.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, everyone. And until next time, I do wish you all the best in life, love, and gaming.
Good night, everybody.